Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew just told me who won The Apprentice tonight, who got kicked off The Apprentice. I was like, why'd you tell me? Drew's like, what was I supposed to know? So I was sat in here with Audrey for an hour. Mm-hmm. Told her it was my favorite show.
Survivor's your favorite show. That one I know not to. I know you watch it religiously. You've never said you watch Survivor. Apprentice religiously.
I told you what happened the last two episodes when we were driving home the other night.
That's true, you did. And I didn't know it meant anything to you. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
The Survivor, I know you have to do your dance. If you feel
I got to do my Survivor dance.
Yeah, it's important to you.
Yeah, it is. So, that's true. Yeah. I like The Contender too. I like The Contender. I like The Apprentice, and I like Survivor.
Yeah.
But, true, I'm telling you, you got to watch Survivor. It's really good.
I've seen it a couple of times.
Yeah. You told me about it with The Family Guy.
All right. Well, I got to watch more diligently.
Got to focus now. Right. And right. In the it's like Palau, or I don't know where the hell it is. Palau. It's amazing. Visually
but
amazing.
Mark Burnett must be some kind of genius.
He must be. Well, right?
Because he just does it. He just got the touch.
I would assume that either he is or he surrounds himself with very capable people, which is a form of genius.
That's one thing
I couldn't take credit for.
It has to be both.
I do call myself a genius oftentimes, but that's surround yourself with
that's
people.
That's a harder
that's where I take a hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're arguing, that's one of your arguments.
But
essentially, though, he does the same thing.
But it
works.
Yeah,
but he has a very powerful musical score. He gets like Hans Zimmer to do the music for the thing. So the music is just, instead of the guy banging away on the Casio in the background, he has a fully scored.
No, and it makes sure the music coincides with the moment.
Yeah,
it's just
scoring a movie,
yeah.
And in the way it's shot, the look, the texture, everything. And other than that, I don't even know if it's better. I just know he can apply that to just about any idea and come up with something compelling.
Yep.
Yes?
I call that genius.
All right. Let's...
I declare.
All right. Amy?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I'm actually calling. I have a question about my boyfriend. I've been dating him for about a month.
Hold on a second. If you went out to dinner with Mark Burnett, you would probably come home without your genius label on it.
Really? You think so?
I think you would, especially if you went in with the genius label. It's hard to tell.
People never live up to their expectations.
You can be impressed, but you can also be disappointed.
But
you would sniff him out. You find some problems. You see him. He'd have a few too many cocktails.
Yeah,
start running at the mouth a little.
Blow hard.
He'd blow hard on you, and then you'd be a little disappointed.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Okay. Amy?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, I've been dating this guy, John, for about a month, and I haven't had sex with him, but we messed around a little bit. And my question is, he gets an erection, but basically he has not been able to come at all. And I don't know, he...
At all?
At all? I've given him blowjobs and hand jobs, and he's like, this just doesn't work. I'm like, what's your problem?
I
don't know.
He needs the real thing.
What?
He needs the real thing. That's the problem.
It is the real thing. I've never had a problem with any other guy before.
But some guys are that way.
Well, wait a minute. Are you giving intercourse?
No.
No, I haven't gotten that far with him yet. I'm the first girl he's ever been with, like ever.
Mm-mm.
So.
All right.
That's going to be part of the problem.
Well, here's the thing, too. He has some anxiety. Mm-hmm. You have that part where you're like, I've been with the masses and the multitudes and the throngs and nothing. I mean, mountains of semen. You, mm-hmm. Nothing. Pow. Salt Lake.
Right.
Dry riverbed.
Right.
The salt flats. Not Salt Lake, yes. Salt flats. The point is that'll freak him out a little. He's a late bloomer. You got a lot of energy. He may be a guy like Drew whose passion lies between the legs, not between the upper and lower jaw.
Or in the okay sign.
Or in the okay sign, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he also, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
He also, I thought, my friends thought it had something to do with, he smokes pot a lot, so they thought it had something to do with that, but I don't know.
That definitely can. Some guys can have a lot of sexual dysfunction if they smoke very heavy pot.
How old is he?
He's 19.
Yeah.
It's hard to get that by 19.
Yeah, here's the whole thing about, you know, the sexual dysfunction, which is if you got a 19-year-old where the plumbing's hooked up and he's into it, there's not enough weed in Jamaica to stop this. If he's on the cusp, if he's tipping or if he's hanging around the border and he smokes a ton of weed, I mean, it's that way with everything. It's that way with cancer. You know, if you're near something, this can push you over.
Follow a different line. This guy's smoking a lot of pot. Tends to be a guy who has depression. Somebody might have stuck him on Zoloft. So is he on any medication?
No, he's not.
You sure?
Positive.
Aha!
That's the other thing that can do this.
All right. Why is he a virgin? He's 19. He's a virgin.
Yeah, he is.
Does he have anxiety? Is he nervous?
I have a feeling he is because it's really funny. Not too long ago, like when I first started making out with him, he was a little reserved. And one night he was completely drunk and he was totally the opposite. Like he had no problems with anything. There was no anxiety at all. And I said to him the next day, I'm like, what changed? And he's like, I don't know. So I think it might be, but I'm not sure. It's just really frustrating to me.
All right. Well, look, you haven't been going out with him very long. Just reel it in a little. Don't bum rush this nutsack.
Right. And realize there are some guys that kind of don't like oral sex. I know Adam can't hang with them.
Whoa.
They don't like oral sex. They don't like hand jobs. And they're just sort of like, not that turned on by him.
I just ask that those guys
stay away from me.
Are up front about that if I meet them so we don't have to hang out.
So how should the greeting go? Adam, great to meet you. Yeah. Not a blowjob guy.
Yeah. And that's where I do that 80s movie thing where I just look at your hand while you're holding, extending it. And I'm like, sorry, bro.
Right.
You know, I'm real 80s.
Right,
you know, maybe I'm wearing a bandana.
And we need a more creative way of presenting that.
Well, why don't you work up some sort of acronym or something? Not a blow job guy. Yeah, NABJ. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. The point is I need to know what. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to go out, find out. You love remote control model airplanes and building and complaining. Next thing you know, we're hoisting some beers. We're having a great time, somewhere hour number four of our mandate, I find out, not into the BJs. Crestfallen.
The humanity.
I've bought the guy, you know, sixer of Heineken's already.
What would you do? How would you get out of
there? I'd have to get out of there. I'd do that. I need time to think, and I would run out of the bar crying. Yeah.
Just make it right to the sidewalk and put your hands in
just
your face.
Just break down into a heap. That's right.
Adam, what's the matter?
You wouldn't understand. Get away from me. That's right, yo. Get away from me.
No, you'd say, not into the BJ.
And then it'd be like, it's all right. I'd be like, I don't even know you.
I'll try.
I don't know you.
I'll try to get into it. I will.
No. See, not going to work. All right. Listen, Amy. Just slow it down with him a little. Pursue the relationship part of the relationship.
He'll calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Move it along if you decide to have sex with him. Maybe things will work fine.
When are you going to have sex with him?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Who knows? He's a really
That response
guy.
Provokes in me 1,000 questions.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, how do you know then? What do you mean you don't know? He's got a war room.
Next
he's got
time
a plan.
She gets drunk. That's
I'm
but
not
what does she mean?
A day.
But what do you mean you don't know? What does that mean?
Well, whenever he's ready, I don't think he's obviously ready.
He's ready. He's ready.
He's not pushing things along though. I mean,
He's not. She's saying no. We're not going to have sex. And
oh no, I don't know if she's saying no. I think he's not pushing his agenda, Amy.
I'm not saying no. Believe me, I'm not like that.
Oh no, he's not a closer. He's not.
He's just not. He doesn't have the eye of the tiger.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything.
Maybe it's prolactin secreting tumor or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
Look, just take it slow. Give him a few few beers, juice him up a little. It lowers anxiety level. See what happens.
Okay.
All right, but don't put the screws to him. You're freaking him out. Yeah, the guy's he's freaked out. Mm. He hasn't done it. Mm-hmm. When you get to a certain age. I don't know what that age is, but it's no different for swimming than it is for humping. Like you make it to 19 without swimming, you're pretty freaked out by the water. Yeah. You don't just go, oh, hey, I'll go down to the Y and learn how to swim. It's like, no way. You got get that crap out of your system when you're 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It's the same for screwing.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm not talking about 6, 7. I'm talking about 9, 10.
Yeah, of course.
But the point is the same. You got to get it out. And the longer you sit, now it's like weird.
It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Sadie. Sadie?
Hi. Yep.
20?
Yep.
What's up?
I'm kind of sleeping with someone who's married.
Mm-hmm.
And he's older than me and all the good stuff that goes with that.
Yeah. How long has this been going on?
About 2 months now.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with him?
I used to. He quit a while ago. Mm-hmm.
Are you in love with him?
No, I'm not stupid. I don't think he's going to leave his wife, and I'm not a girly girl when it comes to that stuff.
How old is he?
37.
What's your plan?
Yeah.
I just got out of a 3-year relationship, and before that...
You're telling us how fine you are with everything, so why are you calling?
Well, I'm just worried that it's going to completely mess me up about marriage because my parents are divorced. Mm-hmm. And after seeing this, how this all goes, I don't ever want to get married because it seems like every guy cheats.
Mm-hmm.
And cheaters cheat.
Hey, Sadie, and guys mm-hmm. are cheaters. I agree with Drew. I asked you if you're in love with the guy, and you answered that he would never leave his wife.
You're fat.
Please, Drew. Which does not really answer my question, you know. Uh-huh. Do you have feelings for the guy, or don't you?
Yeah. I do. I really do. I have a great time when I'm with him.
So I figured. I mean, you're getting drawn into this.
I know. And I'm a psych major, so I psychoanalyze myself. And I used to be a cutter, so in my mind, I think this is kind of a form of, self-mutilation, because I know it's bad for me, but I still do it.
Yeah.
I keep taking it to the next level.
Yeah, you know? It's not, I mean, that's an inaccurate way of looking at it. However, you're right, you are into destructive and arousing behaviors and addictive behaviors.
How often do you see him?
1, 2, 3, 4. Usually 4 times a week.
Wow.
We can get in, pretty much.
4 times a week. And is his wife clueless?
No, she's one of those Italian wives who kind of knows something's going on, but she's got the Mercedes SUV and the two, trophy children and everything. She just kind of doesn't care.
Trophy children.
That's my theory on it.
Can you have trophy children?
She needs...
What do you do, cut your ugly kids off and get some good-looking blonde kids
just
in there?
Just the way she needs abandoning, neglectful, quasi-abusive husband, just like you. She needs that same kind of person. That's what her dad was, so that's what she needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that she doesn't care. It's not like she's a liberated woman who's likes the money. You know, it's not that. That's the kind of relationship she needs.
Well, that's not what Sadie's saying, but...
She was saying she wants the trophy children and the big car. No, yeah. She gets that, but what she needs is that relationship with the abusive guy.
Well, let me just argue for the abusive guy. First off, they could have been married for 12 years or something like that.
Why do you want to fight with me tonight? Everything I say you want to fight with.
No, I don't. I'm not saying this guy's an abusive guy. Here's what I'm arguing with you about.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think that when a woman gets cheated on, it's because she needs to be hooked up to the abusive guy.
I agree with you.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not what I meant to say.
I don't know that this guy's wife wouldn't be destroyed to find out that he was cheating, and who knows, maybe this guy is a car salesman and has that face painted on when he comes home.
You're absolutely right, but I was responding really to her description of the wife as someone
who
needs
that. What she's doing is it's like it's like when someone hires you to kill somebody, you want the money, but you have to justify that they're a bad person
and
they deserve what you're going to do to them. And then she's doing something bad to a person, so now she's making them qualified for what she's doing to them.
Right, absolutely.
Sadie, wow.
Yeah.
See, that wasn't
so bad. See how that works?
Felt good.
Yeah, I do, but my therapist tells me that I should just end this because she's my therapist.
Now Drew says you got to get to 5, 6 times a week, you see? he begs to differ.
I'm trying to work on that, but, kids get in the way.
Why do you question what your therapist is telling you to do?
Well, I'm not questioning it. I just don't want to do it. I know I should because...
All right. You're in love with the guy. You're falling in love with him. And let me ask you this. How long have they been married?
15 years.
Wow.
And it's not like I'm the first person he's cheated on. He's cheated mm-mm. on.
Yeah,
his
cheaters
wife,
cheat.
Like,
I think that, I think that's part of the problem here is the guys that cheat, it's just like the people that abuse children. You know what I mean? They're, it's one group doing it and everyone else gets blamed for it.
Yeah. No,
not quite right.
No, guys do a fair amount of it. Yeah.
But the guys that do it regularly.
Once in a while,
becomes, all guys cheat now.
Yeah. No, the guys who do the cheating are just like the guys who do the screwing in high school. One guy can bang half the student body mm-hmm. and do enough humping for his entire, 10th grade class. Mm-hmm. You try to figure out what side of that I was on, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The point is, these guys do this with cheating, too.
How do you get what, Sadie?
How do I get out of picking these winners? My last boyfriend, completely and utterly verbally abusive. Before that, broke
right. You actually have to do therapy.
Yeah.
You're not doing it. You're sitting there and you're being obfuscating and you're not listening to therapy. You're doing whatever the hell you want. You need to surrender to the process. And frankly, somebody like you, Sadie, I think needs a 12-step process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it going forward in regular therapy
because
mm-hmm. you are completely stuck.
Mm.
And unless you do the work, ain't nothing going to change.
Yeah.
Unless you surrender, you ain't going to do the work.
Go, girl. And
12-step process meaning.
Meaning some kind of 12-step process. You're probably an addict, I suspect.
Well, I'm assuming so. My family is filled with, history.
Right.
All right.
You're
all
behaving
right,
like an
all
addict.
Right. You're smart. You're psych major. Let's go.
There are Cutters Anonymous. There is Emotions. There are Sex and Love Addict Anonymous. There are all kinds of 12-steps out there to deal with compulsive relationships.
We just need one. We just need a basic sort of umbrella 12-step program for chicks whose dad's disappointed.
Let's call it Christianity or something. So put it in the religious.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be enough work involved with that. They only get to the third step.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So many women have had such a rough time with their dad, and then at that point, it's just some sort of, they hit a fork in the road. They could go down the addiction path. They could go down the abusive boyfriend path. There's a million paths, but it's all sort of horrible dad, abandoning dad, abusive dad. Wouldn't it be nice if there was just some huge like a blimp hanger in every city where every chick whose dad screwed them over, and doesn't matter what they're doing now, since your dad screwed you over, come on down. Let's not make the same mistakes.
But it isn't interesting how she really illustrates the process of change. We all sit there and go, oh, my God, doesn't she see what she's doing? She's like, I don't want to change. When somebody doesn't want to change, they are not going to change.
Well,
when she wants to change desperately, it's going to be hard for her to change. And how do you get somebody to that point where they see it, they know it, they understand it, don't want to change?
Well, when you're 20, it's just not going anywhere.
Well, you know how they get there? Something horrible happens.
Yeah.
They either become disgusted, they become ashamed, or they believe they're going to just destroy themselves or someone else with their behavior.
Yeah.
That's when they change.
Well, the thing about being 20, and it's unfortunately doesn't end at 20. It rolls into 21, 22, 23, and it keeps going.
37.
That guy
is one of the guys, too.
Well, that guy's one of the guys. But he doesn't – he's probably doesn't have a huge interest in changing.
Right.
There's a thing where you're 20, 21 – 22, you want to change.
You
don't have the tools. You can't do it.
You see that you should. You don't really want to.
Well, you have to sort of define what want is.
Yeah.
But the point is if you are sort of damaged enough, there's not really going to be change. There's going to be transition periods, and that could be 5 years. There's no doubt in my mind that Sadie, by 25, will be fine. Will she get shot by a pissed-off Italian, jilted wife at 21?
Maybe.
Maybe. That's the tough part.
If she survives, maybe she'll want to change.
Amy?
Yes?
You're 25?
Hi, guys. It's really good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. What's up?
I have a question. I'm 25. I'm thinking about getting bariatric surgery.
What's it called?
Bariatric surgery.
Hold on a second. What's that bariatric?
They wrap the stomach, cut the stomach, wrap the esophagus. It's done through a laparoscope these days, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called? Bariatric.
Very common surgery.
What's the bari?
Bariatric. I'm not sure. I'll look it up.
All right. Amy.
Oops.
Uh-oh. What'd I do? Hang up on her? Six. Amy?
Hello? Yeah. I'm here.
All right. So you're 225?
Yeah. 5'6", 225, and I'm a compulsive eater. Mm. I'm addicted to food, and I'm afraid that if I get the surgery, I really want the surgery because I want to be thin, but I'm afraid.
You're fat.
Drew, please.
You're afraid what?
I knew you'd do that. I'm afraid that I could possibly stretch the stomach out later. I don't know. I just don't know if I should do it.
Well, or you might fall into a miserable depression because whatever you're trying to protect yourself from with the heavy, with the big body area. And so you had some sexual abuse or something?
Yeah.
You remind me of a patient who told me that she, her dad used to make her, used to sexually abuse her, and then at the end he'd get her milk and cookies and say, you know, it's because I love you that I do this. And that made her a compulsive overeater. Did you have anything like that?
Not exactly. I think it just comes from, I come from a family of alcoholics, and I'm not an alcoholic. I just use food alcoholically, so.
And you were sexually abused, right?
Yeah, and that's
so, so that having the big body keeps people away, right?
Oh, exactly.
And then when you don't have that anymore, people are going to start coming after you.
Not the brothers, by the way.
You,
but
you may not be ready for that.
Yeah. Amy, who sexually abused you?
My brother.
I just said brother.
Good times.
And what's he doing now? He's got a wife and kids?
He is an adult schizophrenic, and he lives in Texas.
In a home?
No, actually with family.
All right. Now, if he's schizophrenic, can you forgive him to some degree?
I'm trying to do that in therapy. I haven't figured it out quite yet.
Does your therapist think you ought to get the surgery?
She actually said no because she's, I really wanted it. She told me that, you know, unless I really resolve the issues.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
Merely the symptom.
Right. I agree with her. Now, let me, having said that, when it is time, it's an excellent surgery. You will lose the weight. It's one of the predictable ways to keep the weight off. Even though we know that this sort of drive to eat was set by a trauma, the fact is, just like Adam's preoccupation with boobs was set by something, we can't change that. And so,
God, what are you talking about?
So, I'm just comparing the drive. That's all.
I was like saying, you know, Joe Namath's arm, just like his arm was set by something, it was touched by God.
Or your capacity to breathe was.
I'm just saying it's a gift, boobs.
However you define it.
All right.
And that getting the surgery will get the weight off, but you could have a real serious emotional reaction to the weight coming off if your therapist doesn't think you're ready for it. So do it in its proper time.
I've had friends have done this. It seems to be real effective. But if you're going to compulsively eat, that's something you gotta maintain.
Your goal will be to keep the weight back on because you won't want to have the small body and you eat all the high calorie things. You'll have complications from that.
Right. Elizabeth.
Real quick, we have to do that.
Mary Elizabeth. Mary Elizabeth.
Oh, hey. This is amazing. I'm getting thirsty, you guys.
Thanks, baby doll.
Wow, Nicole Smith.
22. What's up?
Yeah, okay. First of all, before I give you a question, I would just like to say that I loved you on The Family Guy, Celebrity Poker, Celebrity Blackjack. You rock.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I did that celebrity.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Drew, even though the movie sucked, I still like doing New York Minute.
Have you watched it yet, Adam? You promised me you'd watch?
I watched the beginning,
and you
came down into the kitchen, you were all like, who's going to school? And they were like, we're going to school. And then Ashley's all like, I'm going into the city on a train. And then Mary Kay was like, I'm going too. But then they got off at the same time. And one of them, and this is a shocking thing, and I'd seen, now let me say this, Michelle, I don't know if you knew this, but.
Is it on DVD?
Of course.
What? How dare you?
Of course it's on DVD. I have it in my home, okay?
Is it on DVD?
Of course it's on DVD. Came out on DVD.
It was a theatrical release. No, it's a 3,000 screen.
Right on the DVD. Here's my point. My point is this is something I've never seen in a Twins movie before, and I didn't get it when I was looking at all the advertisements and the trailers and everything. They're twins. One of them, studious, bookworm type.
One of them? The other?
Plays rock and roll, rebel child.
Bad. One good, one bad.
Well, yeah, the bad, here's the thing about bad, because I've seen enough of these twin movies. I know what bad is from doing this show. You're blowing every guy in the block. You're cutting on yourself. You're huffing copier toner. It's not that bad. It's sort of rock and roll bad, but it's never
active. It's implied.
It's implied, yeah. It's sort of.
It would have given me a coronary as the dad.
Right.
See,
right.
I couldn't have gone through with the film.
I just thought the twist of having the two twins, you know, one being kind of buttoned down and uptight and the other being footloose and fancy free, is something I've never seen before in a film or TV.
Or a soap opera, or anything.
I'm glad you got it, though.
Yeah.
You've never just watched the first 20 minutes of the film. You didn't watch 20 minutes. 12 minutes.
See. They got thrown off the train.
Yeah, that was your buddy Daryl.
Daryl Hammond was, what was he doing? And then
he had coffee spilled on him or something.
Yeah.
You're obviously sitting and paying attention.
I was drinking. I was having a little wine. It was enjoyable.
Are you in it throughout the whole movie?
He comes back.
Come back in.
Well, don't ruin it for me. Mary Elizabeth?
Yeah. Oh, and another thing. The station I listened to you guys on for years, since I was a little Mary Elizabeth, it changed venues. It's not rock and roll anymore.
It's ranchero.
It's really ironic. It's Spanish music.
Wow. Yeah, it's an awesome song.
Well,
it really kicks in, too. This is it. This is what they listen to. I'll do a reenactment of me walking into my garage. There's no worse music. I think we'll just put a period there, and then we'll give it a beat. But you think this stuff is bad coming out of a truck window when you're pulled up at a stoplight at 4 in the afternoon. Try waking up to this stuff in your garage, 8:45.
Because you have workers down there.
I got Ozzy and Company in my garage. They're doing a little stucco.
They don't live down there, but they're coming in doing their work.
They come in, they're doing their thing.
And the jefe sleeps in.
But the jefe puts his bunny slippers and bathrobe on and wanders down to the garage.
To give them the instructions for the day.
I got to tell them what they're doing wrong and what's going on. And I leave detailed messages the night before. Here's what I want you to do.
And by the way, those of you that are listeners to this show, this must be shocking to hear that Adam complains and yells at people.
Here's a reenactment of this morning.
So this is what you're walking down the stairs, and this is what you hear.
Yeah. I'm gonna turn up a little bit. Ozzy, you're doing the stucco finish. You're using a sponge trowel. It doesn't match the rest of the house. It has a metal. Shut the music! Shut it! And then someone goes running for the thing while this stuff's playing. It's the most bizarre. It makes everything surreal. Like,
yes.
Imagine if you were being murdered.
To that.
Some guy breaks in and he's stabbing you repeatedly while this is playing in the background.
Let's just run through a few life experiences. Delivering a baby.
Yeah, just turn it up.
Delivering a baby.
Yes.
Having a baby. Having your first child.
Your wife is telling you she wants a divorce after 20 years.
Divorce. You're caught in cheating.
Yeah. You've been caught. Your wife has walked in. You just got a call from the doctor. It's cancer. Six months. Yeah.
It's music to live by. You're saying it's music to live by, right?
It makes everything bizarre and surreal. Now, all you can do to this music is drink and hope it goes away. That's it. What? Okay. I don't know what. Okay. Who listens to this? Okay.
My gardener.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll get back with Mary Elizabeth and the slurring Mary Elizabeth after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, when we left off, we're speaking to Mary Elizabeth. She's 22. She's got her buzz on. Mary?
Hey again.
Hey.
Okay. I have a couple of beefs with you two, by the way.
Let's hear them.
There we go.
Let's try it back. Okay, first, Adam. With the community college, it is effing expensive out there for those universities. It's like $3,000 a class. Not to mention, there are idiots that go there, but there's also people who have no place to go as far as college.
I agree. I'm with you, Mary Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I got your back.
They have nowhere to go, so they should go to work. What a shock that Mary Elizabeth would be
dumbfounded
a product of the fantastically successful junior college program this class.
Well, I got nowhere else to go. Come on. I have epilepsy, slight learning disability. I didn't get that grade.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's get a job now. Here we go.
Well, I want to own my own business, and you can't do that. Just walk off the street and open your own business.
I was telling a guy today that, you know, I never did pick up my high school diploma because I owed the book room 1995 for We the People. And it was excellent. It was like, hey, we're not going to give you this diploma unless you give us the money back for that history book you lost. And I was like, how much is it? I remember, seriously, it was 1995. It sounded like an extraordinary amount of money to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it. I knew my family wasn't forking it over. And I gave it some thought. I was like, nah, I don't need that diploma.
Yeah.
And I left. And I think their idea must have been, I think it backfired on them. I think they thought I was going to pick it up. But the point is I was telling a guy today, I never showed a diploma, filled out anything, or did anything my whole life. You can have your own business. You don't need a college degree.
I think make the point clear to Mary Elizabeth, your point is valid, which is that if you believe the program is such a waste of time, it certainly offers you nothing in the eyes of people who are going to hire you, that's for sure.
New.
So
college?
You might as well just go to work.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
And distinguish yourself.
We were just talking about The Apprentice earlier tonight. You got net worth versus the college students. The reason the one team calls themselves net worth, the ones that didn't go to college, is because they make more money than the ones that went to college. So you don't need a college degree, especially from a junior college, to start a business. What's that?
It sure does help. It teaches you ropes and everything like that.
All right. If you're starting your own business, you need to do whatever it is your business is
going to be. I'm going to work my way up. I want to become literally a millionaire just like you.
All right, baby.
Okay, and Dr. Drew, what's that whole Depakote thing you're always talking about? You're always promoting Depakote. You know how I have epilepsy? Well, I was on Depakote when I was younger, and I gained a tremendous amount of weight, and it didn't even work that great. So I don't see what's so great about Depakote.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mentioned Depakote every call, wouldn't you say, Adam? At least every call.
Once a call, I'd say Baker's Dozen. I've heard calls, by the way, with a person, Mary Elizabeth, has just called in and said, like, my school teacher is, I think, unduly harsh. And Drew just yelled, Depakote, 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 Depakote. He just kept yelling Depakote as fast as he possibly could, and then he forced me to hang up on him.
I'm actually
the next call. Too.
Yeah, I'm not actually a Depakote fan. I'm a fan of.
You mention it so much, but
you say it all the time,
every call.
You never stop saying Depakote.
Every call. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, let me just ask this, and just in general, I'm dumbfounded about this, because especially when reviews come out calling me like a braying sports aficionado stuff like that. Like, how much of people's accusations when you say you're always talking about or you're this guy, some of them they're not even familiar.
Right.
Like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right. They heard it. They heard you. They watched you once do something or say something. Therefore, that must be what you always do and say.
Yes. Drew, I don't always defend him, but when he's right, he's right. He doesn't talk about Depakote very much at all.
I in fact prefer Trileptal as a mood stabilizer.
Well, sure, you change your story now.
It's just every time I hear the word Depakote, I get so furious, and I hate when you recommend
it. Right, you must have heard me recommend it once for somebody.
Okay,
it can cause weight gain. There's no doubt about it, and I wouldn't choose it specifically. Certainly not as a first-line anti-epileptic medication. It's a mood stabilizer.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, there we go. Mary Elizabeth, do you have
I'm
a...
in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, you do?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Police discovered the source of a computer worm, which in recent days shut down many banks, the Coast Guard, and many of computers worldwide, and the homemade computer of an 18-year-old kid.
Okay. Hold on. Coast Guard.
Oh, that's it?
Coast Guard.
Oh, Coast Guard.
What?
Yeah.
Computers worldwide, you know, banks.
Banks.
Coast Guard. Coast Guard and computers worldwide, you know?
Yeah.
Coast Guard.
Germany, what do they got there? I'm trying to, are they landlocked?
I don't know, but...
They got
access to the sea.
They got access.
I don't think they call it a Coast Guard, though.
Well, yeah.
I think America calls it a Coast Guard.
But here's the thing, Drew.
She could be trying to throw something at us.
No. I think when we talked about this before, they call it the Schnitzelbleisen, and they don't write it in the newspaper Schnitzelbleisen because we don't know what that is. They would just call it the Coast Guard. I think the German version of it, but I'm still going to go with Florida.
But she's not even. She hasn't even. this doesn't require us. She's just describing a worldwide event.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't have a...
Germany or Florida,
doesn't
too?
Doesn't have a locale, no.
Oh, you see this... Oh, I see. This could have happened in anywhere. Is that what she described?
She, in fact, described as happening everywhere.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I wasn't listening. Mary?
Yes?
Yeah, you need to pick a story that's out of either Germany or Florida.
Well, I did. I have others if you want.
All right. Well, I'm going with Florida on this one.
Yeah, go
anyway.
Ahead. Go ahead. Give us another one.
Well, what is it? Germany or Florida, or is it?
It's Germany.
All right. The story is out of Germany.
Yes, I got it off the internet.
Yeah, but it's not about Germany.
It's out of Germany, though.
Okay, I see.
It's about how did Germany describing a worldwide
stories from Germany, but it's like you could pick up a German newspaper and it would discuss the tsunami,
or it could discuss what President Bush is doing.
Right?
Is he doing it in Germany or Florida?
Yeah, you see, it's got to be in Germany or Florida, Mary Elizabeth. What kind of business are you looking to start?
She's been calling for days, and I urged Brian to put her on because I thought she was funny.
Thank you. I like her, too. What business are you looking to start, sweetie pie? Well,
first, I want to start out in real estate, you know, be a real estate broker. Then open my own real estate agency. And then, I don't know, from there, do something creative like fashion or something like that.
Fashion. Have you had a couple of drinks tonight, or you just have something going on?
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you sound like maybe you've had a beer.
I don't drink.
Oh, you don't drink?
I can't stand that crap.
You can't? All right. Do you have any...
It's horrible. Like poison or something.
She said she has seizure disorders.
Do you have some issues? Do you have some disorders?
What are you talking about?
Are you on seizure medicine still?
Yes, two of them.
Are you on phenobarbital?
No.
What do you want?
Depakote.
Primidone and Lamictal.
Okay, primidone is phenobarbital. It's converted to phenobarbital by your body. Mm. And this speech problem we're having, that's a phenobarbital.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Is that a speech problem?
Yeah.
No, it's first off, it's endearing. Number one, and number two, it's just it's a mannerism. I wouldn't call it a problem. It sounds kind of high.
But I can hear the medication effect on your speech. Let's put it that way.
Are you kidding me? I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, why'd he tell you what you're on?
What?
Okay. All right, listen, we're going to keep on keeping on, Mary.
It's been real.
Yeah, thanks, sweetie pie. If you're not out of the JC by the time you hit 30, I'm going to ask you to leave, though, right?
Well, but now wait a minute. Hang on a second. That is a double standard because you're going to let Chris continue working.
Well, Chris is 29, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's going to hit 30.
He's taking his one math class, though.
He's going to hit 30. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's not going to be out of junior college.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. How dare you?
Mm. He's got a plan, that kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a diabolical plan.
It's working for him.
Yeah. It's got to just blow colossal ass for him to sit next to me all night and have me complain about junior college when he's soon to be the world's oldest junior college student.
That's all right. I'm used to it. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm telling you. I'll tell you who he needs here. He doesn't need this Corolla. He needs my mom.
Yeah, she'd be all over.
Mom, who they're going to bury in the quad at LA Junior College. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there will be a monument erected to her because she started there when she was like, 39, and she's still going to choir practice and stuff. I don't know if she's still actually a student there.
She must
but
be. Of course she is.
Yeah, that Chicano studies major, though, boy, I'll tell you, that talk about paying dividends.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Talk about a gold mine of money just rolling in.
And improve the quality of life.
Yeah. Oh, no,
and
listen.
Relations with other people.
When you look like a chunky Tom Petty and you're a chick, you need that Chicano studies major.
What happened to you today? You're especially on edge tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know.
Spoil the entire.
I'm just tired.
What happened?
I'm just tired.
Sick of people? Had an ass full of people.
End
today.
Of the week. You know, end of the week.
You had an ass full.
Get
today.
Up in the
Something
morning.
Something happened that filled your ass.
No,
with...
I feel great. What are you talking about? My mom went to junior college for 70 years. That's all.
What do you call it? Hippie John Petty? Well, Tom Petty?
Chunky Tom
Petty.
Tom Petty with a vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Tom Petty went to junior college for 50 different. Years. Indeed. Yeah, Chicano studies, everyone.
Mom, I'm so mad at you! I am so mad at you, Mom!
All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Tally-ho and away we go.
Speak to Danielle. Danielle?
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Not much. I have a question about an STD that I recently contracted.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Well done. Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go.
I've been dating this guy for about 5 years.
Wow.
High school sweetheart. We're still together, and he doesn't know that I cheated on him about 2 weeks ago at a party.
Okay.
I got drunk.
First order of business is get out of this relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You're done.
Yeah,
come
you're
on.
Done.
You're done.
You're 20 or 15 when you got started. You're cheating. You're not into it.
You're not into it. You don't even know how to get out of it. You don't even know that you're not into it. You get so bonded in these relationships that go like that. And they're not normal. They're meant to end. People don't get married after that kind
go,
of thing.
Go, buddy.
It is time. It is time. And your behavior is telling us that loud and clear.
Well, so I've been trying to drive him away because there have been...
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Well, now, wait a minute. This is news. Yes?
Yeah.
But driving away because she's capable of a close relationship. She's had it for 5 years. Now she doesn't know how to say goodbye.
No, I'm just screwing around. You're telling us what we're telling you.
Right.
You're done.
All right, so what you caught something as a result of that one-night stand?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you get?
I got chlamydia, and I'm just wondering if it could have been transferred to him within about the past 2 weeks.
Were you treated for it?
I contracted it like 2 weeks ago, and I started treatment today, actually.
Oh, he definitely has.
With the doctor yesterday,
if you've had sex in that two-week period, yes, of course he has.
Why does he definitely have it? I mean, some diseases you don't get.
Yeah, chlamydia is highly contagious.
Okay. That's for the same reason she got it from one outing.
Right. It's you're going to get it.
Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
One's going to get it.
Pretty much. One is going to get it.
I was curious, pretty much.
All right. Yeah. Now, what kind of lie can she tell?
No, he knows already. He's got a doctor's appointment set up on Tuesday.
And he's still staying with you in spite of that?
Yeah, he won't leave. I'm surprised, actually.
Oh, man.
He told
Danielle.
His friends, and they told him to leave me, and he won't. I don't know.
It looks like you're going to have to drop the axe yourself.
I love him, though. It's so hard.
Oh, Danielle. Yeah, this is the way you treat somebody you love. It is.
Yeah.
It's the way you treat them.
He's my best friend. It's so hard.
I know he is. I know it's hard, and that's why having sex at 16 is not a good idea. You get in these relationships that are not healthy. Well, they probably wait a little while.
No.
Start having sex at 15?
Huh?
Did you have sex at 15?
Yeah. I just turned 16, actually, like a week after my birthday.
Ah, see?
How old was he?
He's a week younger than me.
So he was 15?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're both right.
Come on. All right. So, you got to break it off.
It's really sad. But unfortunately, it's going to be one of these things where you're going to have to give him cold turkey for 6 months.
Does he think you're going to get married or what's...
Yeah, he wants to move out with me, and he said he's going to propose on the day we move out and get our own place.
Oh, boy.
And you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, you had sex with a guy you met where?
Isn't the first time she's done this either.
Well, actually, I met him in high school, but I saw him again at this party. And
where was your boyfriend?
I was horny.
Where's your boyfriend?
He doesn't like my friends at all. He has his own group of friends. We went to different high schools, but we were together pretty much all the way through high school.
That's a weird one. That one. There's always that chick who's got the dude from the other school, and it's always what the hell? And then it's like, what? Are you even allowed to do this? You're allowed to come over here and cherry pick?
No, it's some sort of Geneva Convention violation.
Yeah,
it?
And I got some hot chick floating around for 4 years who is hooked up with some guy, goes to Grant, and I'm at North Hollywood, and then here's how we can settle this. You got to send over a chick. That's how it works. It's like an Indian. Yeah, I'm going to need something.
Primitive man, some sort of...
Yeah, because now I got this hot chick just floating around, and the guy's always this super cool guy with the comb hanging out of the back pocket who pulls up in the Camaro.
Not this guy.
Clingy. All right.
Mr. Clang.
Look, if you love him, don't kill him with a pair of needle nose pliers. Why don't you put a bullet in his head and put him down and do the humane thing?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what that analogy means?
No.
that you're Genius. Killing him slowly and painfully as opposed to cutting this off and let him get over it.
You going to junior college?
I'm going to PCC.
Ooh, junior college? Shocking.
Wait. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Hillsborough, Oregon.
All right.
PCC.
Junior college. All right. You got to take that analogies class.
Analogies?
All right, man. Listen, look, Drew, everyone always complains to me, but aren't junior college people, don't they sound twice as dumb as everyone else who calls the show?
Michelle's shaking her head feverishly, yes.
Of course. I can hear what they sound like. It's like the ones who say, I'm not a drug addict. Oh, maybe a little. It's like the
what
proof is you heard that they were on drugs.
Right, right.
Or that they were abused or whatever it is. It's hard to argue with that.
With us knowing it, yes.
Thank you. All right. Dump the guy. Just dump it,
afraid
please.
So. Afraid
All right,
so.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Whoa. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Danielle. Oh, yeah. She needs. Oh, boy.
What? Danielle, we're done. And we're done.
Yeah. The guy was going to propose after the move
it's
out.
So sad. It's so sad.
Oh,
but you've been that guy. I've been that guy. That is the most. I that is sort of the. That is the. but isn't that the onus of being a male? That is the.
Larry Flint.
This is his last gasp. It's going out of him. Here goes the soul. There it goes. Yeah, this is what it feels like. That's what it feels like to be a 19-year-old male in infatuation love.
It's almost as bad as you go on a blind date, and before the date hasn't even started, the guy's already asking for
a
second.
True, please.
You're lesbian.
No. You've been involved for years with this person you cannot live without. You've built this huge fantasy.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and you sit on the steps outside the sorority and cry. Wait a minute. Oh, no, that was Adam, not me.
Now, here's the thing. As a guy, when you're 19 or 20, you got nothing. You don't have anything.
You are nothing. You're just
you are nothing. Now, if you're lucky, you have some semblance of family. Maybe your dad used to drive a Acura and he gave it to you. I mean, if you're lucky, you have a set of wheels. It's always something your dad lent you or let you have or something. And maybe you go to a decent college. Even that ain't much. That's just sort of the framework of some kind of life. 10 years from then, you'll be established. 10 years from then, you have some change in your pocket. You'll have a nice ride. You'll have your own place. And then you can start bargaining. Right. Now you got something.
Right.
When you have zero at 19 or 20 as a guy, especially when you're driving a beat-up pickup truck where the cranks are busted off the windows and you're living in a one-bedroom apartment with three guys, you have nothing. you have nothing. And when you're a chick and you're 20, if you're good-looking, you got something.
You don't have to be great-looking either. By the way.
No, just, nice looking. Like, yeah. I'm trying to think, what is almost the equivalent to. Like, if you show me, here's what I'm saying. If you take a chick who's 20 years old, 21, 22, 19, whatever, and she's an attractive woman, let's just.
Which is a large number.
Let's give her an 8, maybe an 8.5 on whatever scale. She doesn't have to be smoking hot, but let's say a nice looking woman. That is sort of the equivalent of the male who's 27, has a condo, and like a BMW.
No, you're being too kind. That's the equivalent of a male who's a television star at 30 has a house.
Now, we got to start getting into hot. Okay. I'm just talking attractive. As a male, to match that, you're going to have your own place. You're going to have a decent ride and a decent gig.
At 8.5. Match the 8.5.
To match the attractive 20-year-old chick. Now, as a 20-year-old guy with an apartment, a bunch of roommates, and a futon as somebody barfed on both sides of, and the edges, by the way.
And J-O'd inside.
Yeah.
Inside.
Inside, yeah.
Inside.
No, it's filled with semen.
Oh,
It's a gouton. Spouton. How about that for the world's worst mattress? Yeah, everybody, Late Night TV, I'm Adam Carolla. I'll tell you, when the Spouton people called me, I was skeptical at first. Then they said try it for 45 days. I'll tell you, I used to have lower back problems. I used to wake up in the middle of the night tossing and turning. My wife turns her side of the Spouton with the patented coil technique. She turns that to 45. I sleep on the 30 setting because of my back.
Now, as I recall, it was filled with styrofoam, little styrofoam balls that all were stuck into some giant knot.
The Spouton will go, it does split, and will go up to 45-degree angles. My wife likes to watch TV while I sleep at night. Yes, to call for your free trial of the Spouton, no financial obligation yourself. It just sounds like, you'd have to pick a place where it was from. Is it like some Netherlands, somewhere in the Netherlands or something?
Oslo.
All the way from Oslo, from the laboratories of Oslo, comes the Spouton. The world's most advanced sleeping device. From Helsinki comes the Spouton. You've never slept like this before. Huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is a horrible name for a mattress.
But how did we were talking about the 8.5. Now, how about the 10? How are you going to match up with that?
Here's all I'm saying. As a guy, you know, this guy, when they move out, he's probably going to junior college, too.
He's just clinging to her like she's a piece of wood in the ocean.
You have no juice. Now, here's the deal. You can, as a guy, if you're in high school... High school is sort of, it's really like, it's a big island that everyone's on. I know these guys went to different ones, but you have an equal shot with everybody.
Right.
Sure, there's still the head cheerleader and the captain of the football team, but basically you're all on the same footing.
Yeah.
As a guy and a girl, no one has a job, no one's rich or poor, per se. You're all on the same footing. You can do what you want. When you get out and you're a guy and you're 20 and you got zip and you got no money in your pocket and you got a $8 an hour crappy job, and then it's like the humiliation. It's sort of like, where do you work? I'm over at the right now. I'm at the Arby's.
Right now. Where you can pick up the right now.
Right now I'm over at the Arby's. And what are you driving? Right now I got a.
I got
79 Mazda standard bed pickup truck with bench seats out of it. Got a couple of dinette seats in there and vice grips cranking up the windows.
That's my favorite part. Dinette seats. Driving a car with dinette seats. Why don't you just drive it standing up?
Yeah.
I've actually seen that.
it's a class look. But so as a guy, no juice at all, and there's really nothing you can do. That's it. As a guy, you can be exceptionally good looking at that age,
There is a half a percent of guys who are just okay. By the way, and one of the ways to be okay is the way Engineer Chris played it. Mm-hmm. Just never venture out.
Oh, Engineer Chris,
and you're kind of okay.
You just live at home.
You can make it through all that and be kind of okay. If you love your family, you're kind of stable, but you're okay.
Yeah. He also could have achieved the same effect if he just froze himself with liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, yes.
And out.
And there's another half percent of guys that just have the goods.
Yeah.
They're just okay. Yeah. And those guys end up in trouble.
Yeah. But if you room with them, you can watch them get laid on the weekends.
So what is awesome. I'm curious for you then. Where does a 10 match up with a guy? A 21-year-old 10 and a
that's just
what's equivalent to guy, here's, guy
here's,
language.
Here's the whole thing. When there's a chick who's 20 and a guy who's 20 and the chick's smoking hot, she will be snatched up by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody at work, some guy at the office, that guy, the 31-year-old guy who just made partner at the law firm, whatever. You're not going to be able to let her out into public because she will be gobbled up by the successful guy that you're not at age 20 because it's almost impossible for you to do that. And I don't know if that was your question.
No, the question
or not,
was, what's the equivalent in the male of the 22-year-old hot?
That is just
President
of
the United States.
In a band.
In a band.
U2. Yeah, okay. You're Bono. All right, where are we? Who was I talking to? What's going
Nobody
on?
Nobody yet. We're going to talk to Lucy.
Okay. Well, what about VJ over here?
Sure.
Then I'm going to talk to VJ. VJ?
Adam?
You're 22?
Hey, it's a pleasure to speak to you.
What's up?
First of all, I agree with you on the PSA, so I did some research and I found out how many people were actually injured.
Yeah, all right, hold on. He's talking about the public service announcement that we hear nightly on this show because we hear the national feed. where they talk about airplane turbulence and wearing your seatbelt, which I find to be a colossal waste of time and money. That's our money.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, commercial time is not cheap. I've heard that commercial 3,000 times since I've been here.
So, the commercial is ridiculous. It says your body's made for some things, and they proceed to list things that people are routinely killed doing.
Yeah,
but you're not made for airplane turbulence.
They list things that are more dangerous than airplane turbulence, which is
vastly more dangerous, right?
Which is, well, yeah, they list football and rollerblading, for instance, which you know, most the emergency room trips in this country come from people who are playing football or rollerblading. Yeah. All right, but what do you got? What's the number?
Okay, you're going to be pissed off when you hear this. This is from the actual FAA. So, since 1980, 266 injuries and only 3 fatalities have occurred because of airplane turbulence.
Yeah, and the 3 fatalities had nothing to do with the turbulence.
Yeah, it's people who died while en route to
Chicago.
Right,
they had a heart attack. Exactly. They had a heart attack. And the turbulence was occurring at the same time.
Yeah, it's like when there's an earthquake and a 92-year-old guy dies in his bed, a chandelier didn't land on him. They call that an earthquake death.
Right.
Not only that, one of them was actually a pregnant woman. They counted their child who was not born correctly as a fatality. So
wow.
So that was
two people died since 1980.
That's it.
I know, and here's the thing. I don't understand how society runs, and I certainly don't understand how this country runs. I don't understand. We sit here every night. We have to listen to these public service announcements, talk about things that don't seem to matter to anyone about anything.
And not hear a peep about things that should matter.
There are plenty of topics they could discuss. They never do. And some of them are just pretty straightforward, like... Hey, if you got a weirdo stepdad, why don't you put a little $3 barrel bolt on your door at night, sweet pea, and lock it so he doesn't, wake up with him at the foot of your bed with his Johnson hanging out of his bathrobe and him working on the sputon, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why not just save your money or don't run up your credit card? Whatever it is. How about this? 90% of chicks I know have 8 pounds of pressure in one tire and 55 in another, and the other one's got 128, and the other one's got 2.
Yeah. Check your tires. That's a good one.
How about check your tires?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You'll blow out, you'll die on the side of the road, or you'll kill someone else when the thing gets a blowout, or you're getting 30% worse gas mileage and the tires are wearing out that much faster. How about just check your tires?
Yeah.
That's an easy one. But no, we got to wax on about the airplane turbulence.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't affect anyone, and it's academic because you put your goddamn seatbelt on when you get in the goddamn plane. Otherwise, they beat the crap out of you. There's no way to avoid it. I don't know how much it costs. I don't know who says we have to do this. I just wonder where the voice is in the society that when someone says, we need to do a public service announcement about airplane turbulence, well, what do you mean?
Yeah, somebody
doesn't know, huh? We want you to keep your seatbelt on. Well, they have those placards. They line them up all over the plane. Well, yeah, but we want to reinforce it. Why do you got to reinforce it? There's an angry lesbian walking up and down the aisles yelling at you if you undo it. Well, we just think, no, it's a bad idea. And by the way, talk about, can you find a more inane topic to talk about? Hold on. You're fired. Now, anyone else have any great ideas? We need things that affect people. First off, you're just taking the population that flies. Already you're taking making a subcategory of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean,
to
I don't know. People listen.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone listening to this show, I don't think there's anyone that's ever been on an airplane. I don't think so, Drew.
Airplane?
That's what I'm saying. All right. Now, Anderson, just please let me hear that. Now I'm going berserk because people don't know what we're talking about. I just have to hear that commercial again. All right. He's looking it up. And he says a second, but I'm not sure what a second is.
Seconds passed.
Should we take
Should we take a call?
All right.
Go.
Let's hear it then.
What
right, now
a
I'm drinking
tough
coffee.
Thing your yeah. body is. It's built to withstand bending, pinching,
ouch,
tattooing,
ow,
swimming, bumping,
tattooing,
tickling, shaving,
loud noises.
Just stand loud noises?
Childbirth.
No. Childbirth, no one ever died.
Never. Never. Not historically, no.
Football? There was football.
No.
Cooking.
Oh, no one ever got hurt from cooking.
Rollerblading.
Hold it right there. Hold it right there. You actually hear the car skidding.
Yeah.
Which would suggest that the person has flown out into the intersection and is going to be clipped by an automobile.
Your body's meant to withstand that, Adam. How dare you? As compared to airline turbulence.
Your car's skidding. Okay. All right. All right. But that's fine. No one's ever been injured rollerblading?
Never.
Never?
As compared to airline turbulence.
Well, not airplane.
Remember, we're comparing something serious here.
Like I said.
Dwarfed.
Everyone, just close your eyes and picture all the people you know who've been affected, the families, by airplane turbulence. And passed. My father went that way. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was rendered a quadriplegic because of airplane turbulence. Think of all the greats.
Started with the Wright brothers. What are you talking about?
Think of all the athletes. Think about all the great actors. Think about all the who's who that is gone. I mean, it literally would be a phone book 10 feet thick if you could put all the people that were killed and maimed in airplane turbulence. But keep going, Anderson.
Rollerblading.
Yeah.
Marathons. Even company meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But there's
That's
something
so
the human Very body is built to withstand.
Hysterical.
Unexpected turbulence. Happily, though, planes are built to withstand that really well. All you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire flight.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
So next time you fly,
all right, let me say this. Stop this for a second. I know the airplanes are made to take it very well, except for there's been hundreds of times, hundreds of percentage points higher of people died because of the whole airplane went down because of turbulence instead of them being bounced around.
Yes, yes.
Although maybe they count that as a turbulence death.
Ooh.
Like, well.
Doesn't matter. The seatbelt doesn't matter.
Sure, he was buckled up and on fire when we saw him. But we're still going to pin that on turbulence.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. So you stay buckled up. Yeah, play it there, Anderson. Let's finish it off here.
Safety belt the entire flight. Mm-hmm. So next time you fly, stay buckled up the whole time. Because after all, turbulence happens, and you're just not built for it.
No, you're not.
This message is a public service of this station.
Yeah. No, you couldn't be built for it. Like everyone, you want to experience, and it's a scary thing, but you want to experience turbulence. Go sit in your car and rock back and forth a little bit when it's not running.
That's turbulence.
Yeah. Now, you want to experience the rollerblade with the car's brakes locking up? All you got to do is go into a fly out of control into a crowded intersection of automobiles and roll the dice. Mm-hmm. What would you rather happen to your kid, by the way, Drew?
Turbulence is very scary. Yeah, I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah, and, you know, I've flown all over this man's country. I've never heard anybody tell you to put the seatbelt on when you get in the plane. It's called a seatbelt. It has a male and a female side.
I sure hope they show us how to use that instrument because I've never really heard.
No, they never have. There's not. You'd think that the stewardess lady would actually show you how to put it together in front of the group.
Of course, she must do that. How else do you know how to use it?
Yeah, it's never.
You guys are all screwed up. It's called a safety belt.
Safety belt. Yeah, that'd be more confusing.
Yeah, it's not the cockpit anymore. It's the flight deck. Yeah. My point is...
It's not stewardess either. It's a flight attendant.
It's a gay guy. We are spending millions of dollars on this kind of crap. Who procures this funding? What goes on? Whose ideas are these? Who greenlights them? Is there anybody in the government who's awake? I mean, is there not a voice that says, are you high? What are you talking about? I don't even know what you mean. Who reads the copy? Who hears the commercial? Who does go, what, rollerblading? What, my son was killed rollerblading 3 years ago. What are you doing? Wait, and by the way, let me ask you this. There's plenty of safety equipment for football. There's plenty of safety equipment for rollerblading. What safety equipment do they have for flying?
Well, that's the point. That's the point. That belt that they're describing.
Yeah, you should wear a helmet. You should wear the wrist guards. You should wear the whole thing. It's just a colossal waste of money. I don't understand why it goes on. I don't understand who funds it. Well, I know who funds it. We fund it. But there's so many more important things it could go do, and it doesn't. And to me, it's sort of indicative of the entire government in this country, which is they're very important problems that they could address. They don't address. They focus on nonsense, and maybe it's a way to sort of lull people to sleep. Because if you're a country that's
The reality is probably somebody has access to somebody, and somebody has a business that they want to get some money for, and they find an excuse to...
Please, somebody, within the sound of my voice, find me the a-holes who make that commercial. Mm-hmm. I want to find the guy who wrote the copy for that and spit on him. I just want to knee him in the groin and then spin on him and yell, "You're a hack." And I'll do that thing where I pull my glove out and I'll slap him across the face and I'll pull his comedy epaulets off his jacket and throw them on the ground. Tell him you're drummed out of the comedy service. You're not only an idiot, you're a hack. Huh. And the funny part about the meetings where the boss is snoring, I've seen melanoma that's funnier than that. Idiots. Wasting everyone's time. Please, somebody find me these people.
Speaking of wasting time, they're adding
to
the waste.
All right.
Here we go. Jeff, 20. Jeff? 104 minutes.
Uh-oh.
See what happened?
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the constitution I have, Drew. What can I say?
Jeff?
No greater compliment has ever been paid to a talk show host. Sarah?
Hey.
17? What's up?
I was talking to some of my friends, and we were talking about masturbation, and it came up what age. And I started masturbating at 7. Age of 7, and all of my friends are like, "Wow, really? Like, no, that's strange, you know."
Well, it is. Did you have an orgasm?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know, but I don't know. Drew, can you count that? Can you count it as an orgasm?
I don't know.
For women, it's hard. You can't, dust for an orgasm. It's hard to tell if you have one or not. You have a sensation. It feels good.
I don't know, but generally, in my experience, kids that masturbate at that age usually are in a pretty chaotic home.
Well, let me ask
you
this,
Drew. They sort of self-stimulate as a way of managing their feelings.
I have a horrible question. Could a molestation victim at 7, if they had some 40-year-old uncle on them, could they have an orgasm?
I doubt it. I really seriously doubt it.
Sarah?
Yeah?
So was there a lot of chaos in your home?
Not really. I mean, the only thing is, I live with my grandparents and not my parents, but...
That's chaos.
I don't think that
Sarah.
Would have anything to do with it.
Sarah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. How can you say that? It has nothing to do with it when that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
There had to be copious amounts of chaos in your home for you to be raised by your grandparents.
Okay.
When a child can't regulate, when it feels overwhelmed, they will reach for their genitalia. That just seems to be what happens. That's something that when they really are just in, and usually that's a result of living in severe, severe chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sarah,
that's what you got going.
Yeah. What went on with your horrible parents that you were forced to be raised by your grandparents?
Well, my mom was 16 when she had me, and couldn't take care of me. I was into a lot of drugs and stuff. So, my grandparents.
All right, Sarah. Help me understand something. When I brought up the chaos early in your life, how come you couldn't connect that up with the life you actually had?
What do you mean?
You're describing some of the most profound disturbances a child can go through. And when I brought that up as the reason that kids tend to masturbate at a young age, why couldn't you make that connection?
Well, you said chaos, and I think she thinks that means a guy spinning plates in her living room every night. I don't think she understands that in terms of family structure. She doesn't even know what you're talking about now.
I never thought of it as chaotic. It was just normal, I guess.
Yeah, but it isn't normal.
Yeah, normal. Normal. And it's it would be normal if you were a dolphin to be raised in the ocean.
Right.
But weird if you weren't. It was normal to you.
Right. But you were living in adversity.
Yeah.
Severe.
Yeah, most people don't get raised by their grandparents because their mom's a 16-year-old drug addict.
Okay.
All right. And where's your dad?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I've never met him.
Yeah. All right. That's bad childhood.
The reason you're in one piece is you're God bless your grandparents, but the reason you had some emotional difficulties and had trouble regulating those emotions is because of the horrible situation.
When did you get away from your mother? Immediately?
I'm not really sure. I,
never talk about it. So as far as the back as I can remember, I was never with my mom.
Do you see your mom now?
Very rarely, but I see her, yeah.
Is she in recovery now, or is she still out?
She's really good now. She's got a house, and she's married and has another child. And
wow.
Why don't you see much of her?
I don't know. We're not that close, and I see her on the weekends. I watch my little brother, so she brings him by, and that's about it.
All right. They have a professional relationship with her.
You see her every weekend.
Yeah.
All right, you described it to us as though you saw her once a year.
Well, but, like, it's, like, for a couple seconds, and then, you know.
All right. Sarah's angry at her.
She
drops the kid off. All right, you're angry at your mom. You should be.
Or disconnected in some horrible way.
Okay. All right, Sarah, there's issues, baby doll.
Yeah.
They need to be addressed. All right? All right, listen, don't get pregnant.
No.
Good.
That's number one.
Because you're a setup to do what your mom did. Although your grandparents probably helped you out enough that you wouldn't be so.
Yeah, but they were her parents, so.
Yeah.
Didn't do that great a job with their kid.
Yeah, you're right.
Were your grandparents okay?
As far as I know, they were fine.
Yeah, but as far as she knew, her mom was okay, too.
But you were raised by these people. You can't give them an endorsement, as far as you know?
I don't know. They seem fine to me, but.
Yeah.
This is what we call dissociation, which is just disconnected from everything. It's just, oof.
Yeah. They raised you, did they not?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, this is just, remember, a few minutes ago, I have no relationship with my mom, every weekend she brings my little brother over.
Your grandparents, you want to give them a little shout-out, a little kudos for raising you, or do you have anything to say about them?
No, not really.
Okay.
That's satisfying.
I would kill you and then kill myself as a grandparent. It's like your mom, your 6-year-old drug addict mom drops you off at our house. You know, we're getting ready to retire, take a cruise around the world. Instead, we got to raise snot-nosed chick for 17 years. It's like, well, did they do a good job? They were at home.
It seemed okay to me.
All right, baby. You're in big trouble. You got to get some therapy.
Okay.
I can't take it. Did your grandparents do a good job or not? Were they good people? Were they loving people?
Were they abusive?
Yes.
All right. Say something nice about the old F's, would you please? Jesus Christ.
Very loving.
All right. Well, go tell them they did a good job, would you?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right.
That could happen.
Look, everybody, this is what you create. When you get pregnant at 16, you don't want to stop doing drugs and you drop the kid off somewhere. Here's the deal, too, and I hate to say it, but
Sarah's your grandmother.
It's the goddamn truth. What?
Sarah's your grandmother. Sarah.
Sarah.
It's your grandmother.
Oh, my grandmother. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's my mom.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom got dumped off.
Yeah.
That happened to her. What happened to Sarah? A little twist on it, but the point is how dare you bring my family up for me? I told you that was out of bounds. Clearly told you that was out of bounds on this radio program.
To ever bring
ever.
That up.
Don't you ever. Here's the thing. We can talk to Sarah 17. We can talk to her in 25 years.
It'll be the same.
Oh, you'll recognize her.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be much different. Here's her only shot. Tons of therapy, tons of books, tons of everything. But, nah, that doesn't mean she can't have a kid and have a life, but she's going to be her.
Let me get a little philosophical. Isn't it interesting that the way she finds satisfaction is through self-stimulation?
Yes.
So it's like she's disconnected from all of us.
Completely.
But at 7, she found the self circuit.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yes. She had no connection with her mom. She had no connection with her father. She had a couple of folks that she didn't feel close to raise her. And doesn't even sound like she knows they exist. Or essentially her parents. Her grandparents. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Let's hop to the phone, shall we, Drew?
Hop, indeed.
Ashley?
Yes.
20?
Hi.
What can we do you for, sweetie?
I've been living in L.A. for about 7 months now, alone with no family and supporting myself. And
why?
I've come here for, I guess, career opportunities.
What kind of
acting?
Career?
Acting?
Yes, and I grew up in Boston, in the Boston area, and I grew up doing theater for about 11 years. I always wanted to try film. I do art and dance, so I feel like L.A. had better opportunities.
You know, it's interesting. I bet people come out here now for a reality TV career.
I know.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? That's weird.
I don't even own a TV. I don't have interest in it. I just really like... I'd rather do...
All right, hold on. Let me just say something. Everything reminds me of something. And it's usually something boring, but I was traveling around. I was in Tampa and Charlotte a few weeks back. I talked to a little black girl at this fair, and I was like, hey, what do you want to do when you're older, sweetie? And she said, I'm going to be a rap singer. And I said, oh, all right, well, what do you got for me? You got a rap for me? I had a microphone. You know, I was doing a bit. She was like, no. And I was like, well, you want to be a rap singer, right? Yeah. Can you do a little something? Do you do any rapping sometimes? You know? Well, what do you got? Nothing. And later on, I ran into this guy. He's like 16. He's like, hey, you're from the Man Show. I'm like, yeah. I want to do that. That's what I want to do. I want to do comedy. I was like, well, you got any jokes? You do anything? No. Well, you want to do comedy? Uh-huh. Well, like, what? What do you mean? I want to be like Chris Rock.
Uh-huh.
He was a white guy, ironically. All right. How about Adam Sandler? You're closer in color. But he's like, I want to, you know, do some action movies and do some comedies and do some stand-up and something. I'm like, all right, well, what do you got? Do you do any stand? You do any comedy? Do you write? You write down funny things, like when you think of something funny? Not really. And I just realized... people don't even make the connection between having to do the thing and being the thing. They just, I'd like to be an astronaut. I'd like to be a rap singer. I'd like to be a movie star. I'd like to be a model.
Right.
You got to be good looking. You got to take classes. You got to do that. You got to do stuff.
It's entitlement. You just declare that's what it's going to be, and that's what it is.
I just think it's delusionment.
What is? How old were you when you gave up the astronaut thing? You?
Me?
Yeah.
What do you mean gave it up? Okay. I'm going to be an astronaut.
Have you ever studied aeronautical engineering?
I want to be an astronaut.
Right, there you go.
I don't know what you said, but it's not going to stop me from being an astronaut.
Right.
Pirate astronaut. Ashley?
Yes.
I know you've done study, though. You've done theater and that sort of stuff.
This is not why I'm calling, but yeah.
I know. I just realized that everyone watches TV all day long, and every five-year-old in the country...
And I don't.
Nobody wants to be a school teacher anymore. It's just like, no, it'll be a rap singer.
And you are in North Hollywood, Ashley. To make matters worse.
Anyway. I live next door to this wonderful kid who's was a virgin when I met him anyway. And
hang on a second. In Massachusetts, we refer to your peers as kids. It sounded like you're talking about a child when you say that.
Yeah.
I went to college in Massachusetts, and everyone was calling each other kid.
Yeah. So
you're like 25.
So how old was the virgin?
He's 23. I mean, we live next door to each other right now. And he lost his virginity to me in January, and we were never in a relationship, but we were always crazy about each other anyway. We decided not to date. And
why? Whoa, stop. That doesn't make sense, right?
No.
Crazy about each other so we didn't date? That doesn't make sense.
We decided not to date because there was... a number of us that were friends in a group, and we thought if anything went wrong, it would be bad because...
No. Here's why you decide not to date.
He's
not that Indian. So he didn't want to date.
Well, that's what I thought. But we were always fooling around, and I knew this was hurting me. I knew it was...
Wait. Let's continue to... you got to reframe this and stop looking at it through your rose-colored glasses. Because a guy is having sex with you, it doesn't mean he has any feeling whatsoever or that he's into it all. He's just having sex with you.
I know that.
You've not stated as though you knew what you were doing. You said we decided not to date. No, he's not that into you. Yet he continued to want to have sex with you. Okay.
Mm, harsh.
So, okay, about a few months ago, I started seeing this 33-year-old who's just amazing and treats me like I've never been treated before. Crazy about him. Blah blah blah. Now this guy, this 23-year-old next to me, I've totally broken his heart, as he says, and has completely fallen in love with me, he says.
All right, well, you snooze, you lose.
Too bad. Right. By the way, that's not the guy. You don't want to respond to that, because as soon as you head his direction, he'll run off again.
Yeah. He did it once.
That's what I believe. I think it's
you're right.
You can't have.
Basically, that's it. Not so much that he wants what he can't have. He wants what some other guy wants.
Right.
And here's the deal. There are consequences. Here's a hot stock tip. You want to invest? No, not really. All right. Then a year later, it's gone through the roof. I'd like to invest now. You can't. It's too late.
Too late.
It's too late.
The 33-year-old, although we don't trust him, sounds like a really cool thing. So what are you doing? It's fine. It's okay.
Right. But here's the thing. Recently, I was telling him that about last November, of 2003, I was at a college.
Hang on a second. I have to ask.
Sure.
Did you live in Canada for a while or something?
No. Why? People once in a while say that to me.
Because you say about. About
Minnesota?
You know how many people say that, which is funny. I have never, though. I don't know what it is.
Where did you say she was from?
Massachusetts.
I'm from Boston.
Okay. All right. You can avoid the Canadian connection if you start saying about instead of a boot.
I know.
All right.
It's a huge problem.
It's kind of...
Huge problem. Huge problem.
Well, you got no one to blame but yourself for saying a boot.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, go ahead. So, finish up.
Okay. At this college party in November of 2003, I had never told anyone this except for my neighbor next door. I was date raped by two guys at this college party, and no one knows that, and I was never tested for anything afterwards, but I do think they gave me something, and I believe I gave it to him.
To the 23-year-old?
Yeah, and I get really sick just thinking about it, and it totally breaks my heart.
What would that something be?
I don't know. I have no idea what kind of STD. Neither of us have health insurance. We are just both scared. And he...
Ooh. Ashley.
Hold on.
You're gonna have to rely upon your craft a little bit and not use the S and the F-bomb when you're in public.
Sometimes you're doing live television. You can't use the S-bomb.
Yeah,
either.
Neither there, no.
I don't understand this. This happened some time ago, a few years ago.
I got straightened hair.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
But she doesn't know it hasn't manifested itself in any way.
Hey, Ashley?
Yes.
The only thing you could have that long and not know it or not have progressive symptoms would be chlamydia or warts or herpes.
Yeah. Go to the free clinic.
Go to Planned Parenthood and get checked out. That's all. And then you find out. And he is a grown man. He can take care of himself.
Oh, I had a clinic flashback.
Do you want to ask her about this?
Drew thinks she's multi-orgasmic. Ashley?
Yes.
Multi-orgasmic?
No.
No.
All right.
Okay.
I don't get off too easily.
Okay.
All right, baby. Lighten up.
This 23-year-old has continued even through all that I've basically done to him.
All right, look, you're looking for chaos. You say you got a 33-year-old guy who treats you like a queen. You can't tolerate that?
Yes, I'm not used to it in any way.
Yeah, I know. How about you just get used to someone treating you well?
That's it, period.
All right,
come on.
Stop it. She's going to screw this thing up.
Yeah, I know.
It's awesome. That's what happens.
She'll do well in this town. She'll do well.
Yeah, she will. I probably will be driving behind her tomorrow morning while she's sitting frozen like a statue, not turning right at an intersection where it's perfectly legal and perfectly clear to turn right. Yes, that will be me. I will be the guy honking through the person who should be honking at her but refuses to honk.
Well, good times.
Is L.A., let me ask you this about L.A. and people not honking. Is it A, that everyone's so polite? B, that everyone's just from another country and scared S-list, they're going to get pulled over and get something taken away from them? Or C, they're just so goddamn out of it and self-preoccupied that they don't even know what's going
on? Mostly the latter, and there's sort of a strange horn culture out here.
Yeah.
You don't daren't horn someone, honk to get them to move along. That never done. But somebody who's driving aggressively, you won't have that.
Yeah,
you can't have
that. Honk at.
You'd honk at them. But even if they don't get in your way, they don't bother you or anything,
right.
You won't have any of that.
Right. The horn, in Southern California, the horn is used for punitive
reasons. Yeah, so let you know that somebody's disapproving of your behavior.
Yeah, we use it to punish people, but we don't actually use it to alert people or move them along.
Right.
It's really the worst the horn has to offer.
I was in one of those double left turn lanes, and I was stuck. I couldn't make the left myself. I won't go around people to do it.
No, I do that.
I know you do. I'm not that bold. Mm-hmm. And some guy, you know, squeezed across on left turn before we, you know, came across. I guess I was going straight, actually. And some guy squeezed. Didn't make a slowdown. And the guy next to me honked so much. It like startled me. I was like, what's, I thought we were about to get an accident or something.
Right.
You're honking at the guy. Yeah. The guy. We didn't even slow down for that guy. I was like, bravo, man.
Thank you.
It was good.
Yes.
Well done. You're fine. Hustle up.
I had a handful of pussies honk at me when I'm ignoring the red turn arrows. I often do.
But it's dangerous to people around you. Like, what? Something's coming at us. We got a plane crash. What's going on here?
Yep. Let's just pick it up. Let's use the horn. Let's ignore those left turn arrows, please. It's been a while. I've not made the plea. Signal green, arrow red. You go. Make your left. Just go. Here we go. Drive right on through.
Grass, right?
Just like the last signal that had no error. Just do it. I've been doing it for years. It's liberating. No tickets. Just look around for the fuzz and fly.
Fuzz.
We'll take a quick break. Started doing it when we started out here in Westwood 2 over here in Culver City. Home of the arrow. Home of the useless arrow. Just start ignoring them.
Land of the useless arrow.
Please join me in my quest to take back
civil
our streets.
Civil disobedience.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, love line of Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Kelly Hu in here tomorrow. I should say next week. Also, Goldfinger.
Oh, been a long time.
The return of Goldfinger.
Wow.
Haven't seen... we've seen John in here a time or two.
Yes, with... who did he produce?
No, he produced a... pretty
a
successful band.
Yeah. Band.
Can't remember.
Was it the Killers? No.
No, but they don't like Meat is Murder, I'll tell you that. Let's talk to Julie, who's 20. Julie?
Yeah?
You had sex with your roommate's boyfriend?
Yeah.
Hmm. What did your roommate think of that?
She doesn't know.
All right.
And what's your question?
Well, my question is... ever since this incident happened, I've had no interest in sex whatsoever, not even masturbating. I mean, I used to masturbate on a regular basis, and it's not even a thought that crossed my mind.
How long ago did this happen?
About a month ago.
Hmm. Do you think you feel guilty?
Well, kind of. I mean, when it happens, basically... my roommate's boyfriend called me up one night and wanted to go out. So we went out to a bar, and I got pretty drunk.
We went back
to his place, mm-hmm. and, you know, I drank more. And the next thing I knew, my clothes were off, and, I mean, I vaguely remember it.
It's never happened before, by the way.
No, I've never heard this before.
Yeah, been
here
for 10 years.
But it sounds
like
you set this up in some way.
Where's your roommate? Was she out of town?
She was at work.
Do you feel like you were raped?
Somewhat, yes. I felt like I was taken advantage of, definitely.
All right.
I mean,
well, I think, yeah, you're depressed.
I don't remember saying no. But I don't remember saying yes. I mean, I'm not attracted to this guy whatsoever.
Well, whatsoever?
Why? No.
It feels like you're acting something out. Did somebody do something like this to you?
I'm sorry?
Did somebody do something like this to you with your boyfriend or something?
No, never.
Did your dad cheat or something like that?
Nope, my parents are still together.
All right, so this was just the violation is the rape feeling.
I think you're depressed and maybe just depressed over feeling like you're taken advantage of.
Right, like the kind of paralysis that you're feeling. That sounds like a rape.
I don't understand the part where you're not attracted to the guy at all. He called you up. He wanted you to go out. You went to a bar. You went back to his place. I know there was booze involved, but not into him at all. Like, what? Why even going out with him?
I mean. He was a nice guy. I mean, we had certain things in common, and the weird.
You've got to think like a woman.
All right,
yeah. See, Adam wouldn't go out with somebody who wasn't into.
He kept talking about all the negative things about his girlfriend.
Yeah, how does that make you attracted to him, though? When you're not attracted to him. Okay. All right, Julie, here's the thing. You sound depressed.
You sound traumatized.
And traumatized. Yeah. Maybe you're not depressed because you're depressed. Maybe you're just depressed because you feel like you made a bad decision. You feel guilty. You feel like you're taken advantage
you feel
of.
The powerlessness.
You feel powerless.
Yeah, the powerlessness is going to be very, very uncomfortable.
And that's going to put a dent in your sex drive.
Yeah. And you may want to, you know, look into this a little bit. Maybe another support group. If you're in college, perhaps, support group of women, rape survivor, that kind of thing. Mm. You know, you don't get up to really make a huge deal of it because it'll never hold up as a rape, but just the feeling of powerlessness and being taken advantage of is something you need to work on.
All right. Carrie's been on hold for a lifetime. Carrie?
Hi.
What's happening?
Everything. I was actually calling to ask Drew advice.
Yeah.
When I was 18, I ended up moving out of my house for the simple fact that my stepdad is an abusive ass.
Good job.
All right.
And, sorry, was I not allowed to say that?
No, go ahead.
All good.
Well, I actually ended up moving back home last year due to the simple fact that I was working 65 hours a week, and I couldn't go to college.
Money.
And every time I tried enrolling in a class, I ended up dropping it because I couldn't take it.
All right, what's the question?
I feel I'm like going nuts living at home again. Like, it's driving me crazy.
All right.
You're healthy. Get out of there.
Get your job and get out of there.
You got to get out of there.
Are you working now?
Or else live on campus, take out a loan, do something when you're out of there. This is not a healthy thing.
Junior
you know
college, you can't live on campus.
Yeah, so no,
they got a parking. You got to sleep in the parking lot.
Well, get out of there somehow. It's a very healthy feeling to want to
get. Do you have a job?
Yeah, I actually just got back to working full time again. Except
but see, the problem is you couldn't handle working and going to school.
T.S.
You got to do it.
Well, look, behind every successful person is not a successful woman who made him successful. It's a guy who busts his butt.
Yeah,
everybody is successful. Did their full-time thing during the day and then did something else at night other than watch TV.
For years. Yeah.
For no pay.
Yeah.
You pay.
Yeah.
Oftentimes classes, like schools, stuff, whatever, yeah. materials. You make it work. That's what you do when you're successful. You don't say, I work, so I can't do this, I can't do that. No way. You figure it out, you make it work.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you just had a bunch of money and support a family and you never had to do this. You don't have that. Now you have to make it work. All right. We'll be back. Baby dolls and the week. I want to thank engineers Michelle for doing a fantabulous job. Engineer Chris. At his mom's house listening right now. Doing a great job all week. Junior producer Lauren for doing a fantastic job. Of course, producer Ann and phone screener Brian.
You still laugh at me.
The magic fingered one, the Liberace of the potentiometers, engineer Anderson for doing a fantabulous job. Back with a vengeance.
Back.
After a long absence at Camp Snoopy. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
That is the most, that is sort of the, that is the, but isn't that the onus of being a male? That is the,
Larry Flint.
This is his last gasp. It's going out of him. Here goes the soul, there it goes.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.